Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's Cubs Authentic Fan Night at Wrigley Field. Make sure to share your Cubs fandom using the hashtag AuthenticFan, and your photos might be shown during tonight's game. Plus, could Manny Machado be the next Cubs fan favorite? The Cubs will reportedly inquire about the superstar shortstop from the Orioles. But would he be worth a very steep price? And the Crosstown Classic kicks off later this week, almost 1 year after the Jose Quintana, Eloy Jimenez deal. We'll look back at how that trade is looking for both sides. And good evening and welcome into Sports Talk Live, brought to you by our friends with the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. We're here at Gallagher Way outside Wrigley Field. Jesse Rogers, David Haw, and my old partner, now the voice of the Miami Marlins, 1996 National League Rookie of the Year, Todd Hollinsworth. So great to have you back in town,
great
kid.
Great to be back. Great to be back. Lots of friends and family. I've had a great first day here in Chicago. Great second day as well here Tuesday. Just seeing everybody. I tell you, one of the best fan bases in all of baseball. I love the Cub fan. Everybody's been so gracious. I walk up and down Wrigley Field. I walk in the building.
You're
up
the mayor.
And down the.
Everybody's stopping you.
I don't know.
Now
listen, it is Midwest people. I'm telling you, man. It's nothing to do with being the mayor. I think we treat each other that way, and I think everybody says hi to you on the street. That's what I love.
What is it like working for and with the American League 96 Rookie of the Year, Derek Jeter?
Well, first off, it's weird because I met Derek way back when we were kind of doing the circuit after winning the award, the Rookies of the Year, and clearly our careers, like, he took his career to one level and my career went to a level, and I'm proud of the level it went to, but his went to a way different level. Well, like, he hangs out with Michael Jordan, you know what I mean? We kind of all hang out together. You know what I'm talking about?
How's it been
you
with
get
him?
That's right.
He epitomized class in baseball, and he, everything he touched turned to gold. He goes down with the Marlins, mm-hmm. and there's been some controversy. How has that been to navigate, and how is it now?
Well, I think it's a challenge. You know, I tell people this all the time. How many people really own multiple teams? How many ownership groups come into a major league, say, we've got the chance to own a team and say, okay, well, I'm done with that. I'm going to go own another team or another team and act like they've got a roadmap to how this works. I think that there's so many things that you learn on the job. I think there's some things, we heard Theo use words like transparency when he came on board here. I think Derek's doing the exact same thing. He's trying to be as forthright and upfront with the Miami fan base as he possibly can be. But at the same time, I think there's a lot more to unwind, undo, untie in Miami than there ever was here because of the relationship between the fan base and the previous owners, and not just Jeffrey Loria. I think you go back a few years. It kind of had hovered over the organization for their 24 years of existence. He's trying to make that better.
What I think is interesting, and I know Derek – had an image with New York, but I don't think he cared so much about optics. He wanted to be a good person.
Right.
But my point is this, he never gave great interviews as a Yankee player, I don't think. And I just think down there, my guess is he doesn't care about the optics as long as he delivers the results so much. Well, it's not a PR campaign he's involved in down there. He's in a rebuilding campaign, and that's what he's interested in.
Absolutely. I mean, attendance is one thing that clearly is brought up in Miami. You have this big, beautiful stadium. It's gorgeous. The Cubs just saw it, just earlier this year. And you walk around that place, you say, how does this building not filled up with people every game? Good or bad, it's one of the best stadiums in all of the National League. Well, you have a conflicted fan base. Derek, again, is trying to, touch base with that. He just traded his entire outfield, which by some people we would value it as the best outfield in all of baseball.
Right.
I mean, he did some things that I think were perceived in a way, whether you agree with him or not, that were better for the organization. Point being, when this gets better and they grow up and the winning starts to happen, and I absolutely believe, and you guys all know me, I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it, it's going to get better in a few years. They've got some arms. They've got some kids that are going to grow together, and then they're going to have an opportunity to spend some money. If they can do that and put together the product, it will start to heal itself. You're right. He may not be that person right now, but maybe he is in 3 years when the product on the field gets a little
he's
bit better.
Too.
He's learning that aspect. And that's my point. And it's exactly what the point about this is that he's got to learn, when the winning starts, it gets easier to do interviews. We all know that, right?
Yeah. I wish that ballpark was located on the water, you know what I mean? Something about water. Put the ballpark near water, and it always looks better.
Well, you have an incredible – you look out the windows in left field, you have this gorgeous view of downtown Miami. I mean, but you're right. I mean, there's things there. And you hear different things in Miami of why you can't fill the building. But winning is the cure-all. We know that here. We know that anywhere you go, if you win, people will come.
Right.
Let's talk about the matchup. You've seen the Cubs now for, what, 4 games?
Right.
What's your thoughts on the National League? I think you told me on the phone Arizona's the best team you've seen.
Right now.
Compare them to the Cubs.
Well, I think the Cubs are maybe, you kind of use it like this, are they the best-kept secret in the National League? Well, they're nobody's secret. Everybody gets up to play the Cubs right now. But I guess my point is that I'm not sure the Cubs that we've seen so far are actually the Cubs you're going to see later on this year. I think they're one of the most dominant teams that you're going to see. They're going to go to the playoffs, and they're going to make a long, lengthy run. They haven't played that way yet. And as we know, these cold Aprils sometimes can set the players back a little bit. The only thing that stands out to me that's different than what we've seen in the past, and this isn't a reflection on whether they're going to win or not, is the fact that the offense has been so different to my eyes than what I've seen over the last 3 years. That's the one thing that stands out. You think of what they did years ago, 16 and 15, 17 even, they walk a lot. They were first or second in Major League Baseball in taking walks, meaning the on-base percentage was up. They're also, you know, top 10, usually right around hitting the home runs. Now, the home runs have been there, but the walks, guys, going into last night's ball game, 27th. That's a huge fall off. So, I mean, those are all those runners that are now that you were getting earlier that led to the 800 runs a season that you know, tell you you're going to score 5 runs a ball game. Makes everything else make sense in the starting rotation and then in the bullpen. It's being done differently. Doesn't mean it can't work, but I think that a lot of the questions you've asked probably over the last, I don't know, couple of weeks when they've struggled offensively before last night were being raised based on stuff like that.
A lot
that.
Of that's about approach. So
right.
How, in your experience, how much impact or difference does a hitting coach make?
Well, he makes an awful lot because, you know, in today's game, this hitting, you know, the hitting coaches today, and this isn't just, you know, Chili Davis or anybody else you're talking about. I mean, they've got so much responsibility in bringing the game plan to the table for that day. And it's collective, you know, in a lot of ways. The knowledge and information that these hitting coaches have that are given to them that is able to put in front of a player today is so different than when I played, which was just a couple of generations ago. And, you know, the idea is that, you know, we're like, hey, this guy's got a sinker slider, get him on the plate, go get him. That was it. Today it's like an hour-long meeting just about every day. So they have to work harder. These kids get to the field earlier. They work harder in the cages. They go out and take batting practice. They work even harder. And guess what? I know that Joe Maddon controls an awful lot of that stuff. But even young players, the one thing that I always battled as a young player was if I struggled in April, I seemed to try harder. And maybe, and I thought about this last night, maybe that's what leads us into the idea that they're not walking as much as they used to. They're swinging the bat more. Well, you're trying to hit yourself out of your slumps.
That's Rizzo for sure.
Well, right.
That's Rizzo for sure.
And I guess that's my point. Well, and I think it's not necessarily just Rizzo. You've got a few other guys who are trying to kind of get their game
going.
Chris
Bryant talked about that yesterday at his locker.
But and the other thing is
that's a young guy thing.
Yeah. And the other thing is guys that don't walk a lot are getting more playing time. Elmora, Happ, they don't walk a lot. Now, Schwarber's living up to his end. He's walking.
Sure.
Here's Baez. I want to ask you this. Baez has not taken a walk since April 11th. I'm not being critical of that. I want to ask you this.
And leads the major leagues in RBI.
Listen to this. He has a 932 OPS since April 11th without a walk.
Right.
That's incredible.
It's all slugging percentage.
Right. It's all slugging. It's amazing.
All right. Let me ask you this before we let you go. Manny Machado's name is out there, and there's a big story Gordon Whitmire had today that the Cubs are interested in trying to bring him over. Your take on a guy like that, who you've seen some because you're a baseball guy.
Manny Machado would be a compliment to anybody's roster. You could take the Yankees right now, and I'd do my best to fit him in. I think that he would be he would take them over the top if they're not already over the top as well as they've been playing. Manny Machado, to me, he's in a great spot right now. Does it complicate your roster, and are you probably going to end up waving bye to somebody that meant an awful lot to you when 2016 happened? You will. It's going to sting a little bit. But let's remember this. The Chicago Cubs have been in a position now, and they've built an organization that was not only built around the product on the field, the minor league system, but the ability to create depth so that when you needed something, you could get something. Not everybody in baseball can do that. The Cubs can. That's why their formula works. They've got places to screw up. They can screw up and still win. Most places can't screw up and win. They can do that. Is Machado the right answer? Well, listen. Aroldis Chapman was the right answer, and we're watching, you know, we're watching the young man in New York, you know,
Kleyber Torres
play great baseball right now.
That was a good deal, though.
But
you had to make it.
Point being,
sometimes you reach a point where you have to make the deal.
And here's the thing: it's still the right deal if the Cubs don't win the World Series in 2016. That's how you have to view the deal.
Because they took the shot.
They took the shot, and that's what it's worth. And so, I mean, again, I know that if you were to ask everybody around here that. Well, how did that deal work out? How did the Torres deal work out? We didn't win the World Series in 16. Everybody freak out, right? That was a horrible deal. Well, the truth is, at that moment in time, it was the right deal.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having
You're
me.
You're the man.
I appreciate it.
We miss you, kid. There you go. All right, our stat of the day is brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. Check out Manny Machado's numbers. He ranks fourth in the major. Batting average, on-base percentage, OPS, 12th in home runs, 8th in RBIs. He would be a great fit in this Cubs offense. All right, we'll have our poll question coming up. It's Authentic Fan Night here at Wrigley. Doug Glanville, Brian Anderson will join Layla Rahimi for Baseball Night Chicago at the bottom of the hour. Coming up, Mark Gonzalez joins the panel. We talk Crosstown and the Jose Quintana Eloy Jimenez trade almost 1 year later. We'll be right back.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
It's Cubs Authentic Fan Night at Wrigley Field. Make sure to share your Cubs fandom using the hashtag AuthenticFan, and your photos might be showing during tonight's game. Plus, could Manny Machado be the next Cubs fan favorite? The Cubs will reportedly inquire about the superstar shortstop from the Orioles, but would he be worth a very steep price? And the Crosstown Classic kicks off later this week, almost 1 year after the Jose Quintana, Eloy Jimenez deal. We'll look back at how that trade is looking for both sides. And good evening and welcome into Sports Talk Live, brought to you by our friends with the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. We're here at Gallagher Way outside Wrigley Field. Jesse Rogers, David Haw, and my old partner, now the voice of the Miami Marlins, 1996 National League Rookie of the Year, Todd Hollinsworth. So great to have you back in town,
great
kid.
Great to be back. Great to be back. Lots of friends and family. I've had a great first day here in Chicago. Great second day as well here Tuesday. Just seeing everybody, I tell you, one of the best fan bases in all of baseball. I love the Cub fan. Everybody's been so gracious. I walk up and down Wrigley Field. I walk in the building.
You're
up
the mayor.
And down the.
Everybody's stopping you.
I don't know.
Listen, it is
Midwest people. I'm telling you, man. It's nothing to do with being the mayor. I think we treat each other that way, and I think everybody says hi to you on the street. That's what I love.
What is it like working for and with the American League 96 Rookie of the Year, Derek Jeter?
Well, first off, it's weird because I met Derek way back when we were kind of doing the circuit after winning the award, the Rookies of the Year, and clearly our careers, like, he took his career to one level and my career went to a level, and I'm proud of the level it went to, but his went to a way different level. Well, like, he hangs out with Michael Jordan, you know what I mean? And we kind of all hang out together. You know what I'm talking about?
How's it been
you
with
get
him?
Us.
That's right.
He epitomized class in baseball, and he, everything he touched turned to gold. He goes down with the Marlins, mm-hmm. and there's been some controversy. How has that been to navigate, and how is it now?
Well, I think it's a challenge. You know, I tell people this all the time. How many people really own multiple teams? How many ownership groups come into a major league, say, we've got the chance to own a team and say, okay, well, I'm done with that. I'm going to go own another team or another team and act like they've got a roadmap to how this works. I think that there's so many things that you learn on the job. I think there's some things, we heard Theo use words like transparency when he came on board here. I think Derek's doing the exact same thing. He's trying to be as forthright and upfront with the Miami fan base as he possibly can be. But at the same time, I think there's a lot more to unwind, undo, untie in Miami than there ever was here because of the relationship between the fan base and the previous owners, and not just Jeffrey Loria. I think you go back a few years. It kind of had hovered over the organization for their 24 years of existence. He's trying to make that better.
What I think is interesting, and I know Derek had an image with New York, but I don't think he cared so much about optics. He wanted to be a good person.
Right.
But my point is, he never gave great interviews as a Yankee player, I don't think. And I just think down there, my guess is he doesn't care about the optics as long as he delivers the results so much. Well, it's not a PR campaign he's involved in down there. He's in a rebuilding campaign, and that's what he's interested in.
Absolutely. I mean, attendance is one thing that clearly is brought up in Miami. You know, you have this big, beautiful stadium. It's gorgeous. The Cubs just saw it, you know, just earlier this year. And you walk around that place, you say, how does this building not filled up with people every game? Good or bad, it's one of the best stadiums in all of the National League. Well, you know, you have a conflicted fan base. Derek, again, is trying to, you know, touch base with that. He just traded his entire outfield, which by some people, you know, we would value it as the best outfield in all of baseball. Right. I mean, he did some things that I think were perceived in a way, whether you agree with him or not, that were better for the organization. Point being, when this gets better and they grow up and the winning starts to happen, and I absolutely believe, and you guys all know me, I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it, it's going to get better in a few years. They've got some arms. They've got some kids that are going to grow together, and then they're going to have an opportunity to spend some money. If they can do that and put together the product, it will start to heal itself. You're right. He may not be that person right now, but maybe he is in 3 years when the product on the field gets a little
he's
bit better.
Too.
He's learning
that aspect.
And that's
of
my
the
point.
Job.
Is, yeah. And it's exactly what the point about this is that he's got to learn, well, when the winning starts, it gets easier to do interviews. We all know that, right?
Yeah. I wish that ballpark was located on the water, you know what I mean? Something about water. Put the ballpark near water, and it always looks better.
Well, you have an incredible.
It's something
you
cool.
Look out the windows in left field, you have this gorgeous view of downtown Miami. I mean, but you're right. I mean, there's things there. And you hear different things in Miami of why you can't fill the building. But winning is the cure-all. We know that here. We know that anywhere you go, if you win, people will come.
Right.
Let's talk about the matchup. You've seen the Cubs now for, what, four games.
Right.
What's your thoughts on the National League? I think you told me on the phone Arizona's the best team you've seen.
Right now.
Compare them to the Cubs.
Well, I think the Cubs are maybe, you kind of use it like this, like are they the best kept secret in the National League? Well, they're nobody's secret. Everybody gets up to play the Cubs right now. But I guess my point is that I'm not sure the Cubs that we've seen so far are actually the Cubs you're going to see later on this year. I think they're one of the most dominant teams that you're going to see. They're going to go to the playoffs, and they're going to make a long, lengthy run. They haven't played that way yet. And as we know, these cold Aprils sometimes can set the players back a little bit. The only thing that stands out to me that's different than what we've seen in the past, and this isn't a reflection on whether they're going to win or not, is the fact that the offense has been so different to my eyes than what I've seen over the last 3 years. That's the one thing that stands out. You think of what they did years ago, 16 and 15, 17 even, they walk a lot. They were first or second in Major League Baseball in taking walks, meaning the on-base percentage was up. They're also, you know, top 10, usually right around hitting the home runs. Now, the home runs have been there, but the walks, guys, going into last night's ball game, 27th. That's a huge fall off. So, I mean, those are all those runners that are now that you were getting earlier that led to the 800 runs a season that you know, tell you you're going to score five runs a ball game. Makes everything else make sense in the starting rotation and then in the bullpen. It's being done differently. Doesn't mean it can't work, but I think that a lot of the questions you've asked probably over the last, I don't know, couple of weeks when they've struggled offensively before last night, were being raised based on stuff like that.
A lot
that.
Of that's about approach. So
right.
How, in your experience, how much impact or difference does a hitting coach make?
Well, he makes an awful lot because, you know, in today's game, this hitting, you know, the hitting coaches today, and this isn't just, you know, Chili Davis or anybody else you're talking about. I mean, they've got so much responsibility in bringing the game plan to the table for that day. And it's collective, you know, in a lot of ways. The knowledge and information that these hitting coaches have that are given to them that is able to put in front of a player today is so different than even when I played, which was just a couple of generations ago. And, you know, the idea is that, you know, we're like, hey, this guy's got a sinker slider, get him on the plate, go get him. That was it. Today it's like an hour-long meeting just about every day. So they have to work harder. These kids get to the field earlier. They work harder in the cages. They go out and take batting practice. They work even harder. And guess what? I know that Joe Maddon controls an awful lot of that stuff. But even young players, the one thing that I always battled as a young player was if I struggled in April, I seemed to try harder. And maybe, and I thought about this last night, maybe that's what leads us into the idea that they're not walking as much as they used to. They're swinging the bat more. Well, you're trying to hit yourself out of your slumps.
That's Rizzo for sure.
Well, right.
That's Rizzo for sure.
And I guess that's my point. Well, and I think it's not necessarily just Rizzo. You've got a few other guys who are trying to kind of get their game
going,
right? Chris
Bryant talked about that yesterday at his locker.
But the other thing is
that's a young guy thing.
Yeah. And the other thing is guys that don't walk a lot are getting more playing time, Elmora. Hap, they don't walk a lot. Now, Schwarber's living up to his end. He's walking.
Sure.
Here's Baez. I want to ask you this. Baez has not taken a walk since April 11th. I'm not being critical of that. I'm going to ask you this.
And leads the major leagues in RBI.
Listen to this. He has a 932 OPS since April 11th without a walk.
Right.
That's incredible.
It's all slugging percentage.
Right. It's all slugging. It's amazing.
All right. Let me ask you this before we let you go. Manny Machado's name is out there, and there's a big story Gordon Whitmire had today that the Cubs are interested in trying to bring him over. Your take on a guy like that, who you've seen some because you're a baseball guy.
Manny Machado would be a compliment to anybody's roster. You could take the Yankees right now, and I'd do my best to fit him in. I think that he would be he would take them over the top if they're not already over the top as well as they've been playing. Manny Machado, to me, he's in a great spot right now. Does it complicate your roster, and are you probably going to end up waving bye to somebody that meant an awful lot to you when 2016 happened? You will. It's going to sting a little bit. But let's remember this. The Chicago Cubs have been in a position now, and they've built an organization that was not only built around the product on the field, the minor league system, but the ability to create depth so that when you needed something, you could get something. Not everybody in baseball can do that. The Cubs can. That's why their formula works. They've got places to screw up. They can screw up and still win. Most places can't screw up and win. They can do that. Is Machado the right answer? Well, listen. Aroldis Chapman was the right answer, and we're watching. We're watching the young man in New York. You know,
Gleyber Torres
play great baseball right now.
That was a good deal, though.
But
you had to make it.
Point being,
sometimes you reach a point where you have to make the deal.
And here's the thing: it's still the right deal if the Cubs don't win the World Series in 2016. That's how you have to view the deal.
Because they took the shot.
They took the shot, and that's what it's worth. And so, I mean, again, I know that if you were to ask everybody around here that. Well, how did that deal work out? How did the Torres deal work out? We didn't win the World Series in 16. Everybody freak out, right? That was a horrible deal. Well, the truth is, at that moment in time, it was the right deal.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having
You're
me.
You're the man.
I appreciate it.
We miss you, kid. There you go. All right, our stat of the day is brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. Check out Manny Machado's numbers. He ranks fourth in the major. Batting average, on-base percentage, OPS, 12th in home runs, 8th in RBIs. He would be a great fit in this Cubs offense. All right, we'll have our poll question coming up. It's Authentic Fan Night here at Wrigley. Doug Glanville, Brian Anderson will join Layla Rahimi for Baseball Night Chicago at the bottom of the hour. Coming up, Mark Gonzalez joins the panel. We talk Crosstown and the Jose Quintana-Eloy Jimenez trade almost 1 year later. We'll be right back.
Join NBC Sports Chicago at Wrigley this summer for Authentic Fan Nights, featuring free giveaways, cheer cards, and live broadcasts in Gallagher Way before the game. For more information, including dates, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Hey, is your mom the real MVP? Nominate her today at NBCSportsChicago.com/MVPMom for the chance to win 4 tickets to Crosstown this Mother's Day. All right, we welcome Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune to our set. But before we do that, we got a proposal back there.
Wow.
I don't know who Susie is, but Susie, he wants to know if you'll marry him. So, Susie, good luck. God bless.
That's what you do, Cap, bringing people together.
There you go, trying to keep expanding the fan base, buddy. Also, our Enken Law Sports Talk Live poll question, would you trade Addison Russell for Manny Machado in a deal? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. All right. So,
and who else?
You'd have to give up a lot.
Oh, a lot more.
So, Gonzo, this is out there that the Cubs might be interested in Manny Machado. I can imagine everyone would be interested in him. What would it take to get a guy like that, even though it's the final year of his deal?
A lot of pitching. And a guy like Addison wouldn't hurt as well. But I think the Orioles are going to be asking for a lot. They haven't done this. This is not their M.O., trading, I guess, since Will Clark in 2001. So this is a different landscape for them, but you got to get as much as you can, and I've been hearing they want pitching.
Do the Cubs have the prospects, pitching prospects?
Adibert Alzolay would have to be in that deal.
He'd have to be in there. Will it take more than him, or could it be him, Russell, and maybe another
Montgomery.
Major league piece?
Montgomery.
Okay.
That might do it.
Montgomery, Russell.
Azalea, if Azalea's the real deal, yeah, that could do it. Something
would
like that.
Would you do that deal?
That's a lot to give up.
Because
I don't want to get swayed by Russell's poor start. So let's go back to the offseason just a couple months ago. I would have done that deal.
Right.
I would have done that deal. Now, I mean, yes, because he's off to a bad start at short. But I will say it does feel like this team can win it, even if Russell is having a down year and Machado's not on this team. But Machado would probably assure you of a deeper run, I guess. So you don't have to do it, but my feeling is it's too much fun to pass up.
It is fun, and it's in Chicago. We're talking about it. But, Gonzo, the Dodgers are also going to be in the market. They could be the team that steps forward in this. Couldn't they be hard to beat?
They could, but
They need a shortstop.
They do need a shortstop, but you got to look down the road, too, for the Cubs. You get Machado, but then he signs out somewhere else. So that means Baez moves to shortstop. Then who's your second baseman? Do you have enough faith in David Bodie's going to be your guy for the long term?
Well, Ian Happ.
Or Ian Happ.
If you make that trade, he can't sign anywhere else.
Yeah, but get one more year at a Zobrist.
That's the one position you can find second baseman. It's not like you're going to get a number one starter. You're going to get a catcher, everyday player.
Isn't it amazing? We were talking second baseman. He hasn't mentioned Tommy yet.
Right. Where's Mr. 3 a.m.
Why not? Look, it would be fun, but none of us think they have to make that deal to make the playoffs, right?
If they make the playoffs, it's already a roll of the dice. No.
Machado can go 0-for-20 in the playoffs.
I think
it's an
extension of the conversation about here are the Cubs. You know they're going to be okay. You know, but they're scuffling at the plate. Yeah. Who's the guy out there on the market that can complete your lineup and make you less likely to go through one of those
struggles? This is one of those deals I'd say you can wait as long as you possibly can. Let's see what this offense does look like closer to the end of the season.
Let me just tell you something. If Flew Darvish is the guy he's been the first six weeks.
Where'd you get
and
that?
Not the guy, maybe from you, I'm not sure. But it sounds good. I'll give you the credit.
All right.
If 60-40, by the way, said they would make the trade on our poll question. If Flew Darvish is the guy he's been the first 6 weeks, you got bigger issues than just Manny Machado.
Absolutely. And that's
a gaping hole in your rotation.
And that's where you got to juggle a few balls. Do you get the veteran who's going to cost you a lot? Or do you think a guy like Azalea is that guy that gives you that big boost, you know, a Bobby Welch
so
type guy.
So bring up Azalea mid-season or near the break as a guy who bolstered your pitching
staff? Yeah, I don't think you're done if Darvish isn't great because think about it. Everyone thinks Tyler Chatwood's better than a 5. So let's say, forgetting about salaries, Darvish pitches like a 5 and Chatwood is better. I mean, most teams only have 4 good ones anyway. Now, if Darvish is bad, you have no room for error after that.
Do you think, based on what you've seen of Chatwood, though, that he can control himself better to be better than a 5?
Because the stuff is good.
Nasty stuff, but hard to control. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. You're right. If they're both bad, then they do have problems.
Especially when you're running deep pitch counts and dipping deeper into your bullpen, it takes its toll middle of the season.
If you look at the team, questionable starting staff right now, we believe they'll be better. The defense has not been good. Last night it was excellent, but it's been lousy. And you got a number of hitters who are not hitting where they expect to be, most notably Anthony Rizzo hitting .179. What of those areas concerns you guys the most?
I would say it's starting pitching because if you don't have consistency with their starting rotation, it won't matter the other two. And you're counting on those guys specifically being the strength of your team. You've got to get better stuff out of Darvish, more consistency out of Chatwood, and Quintana has got to be better than he has been.
I was very skeptical when everybody was saying this has a chance to be the best pitching staff under the Joe Maddon era because 2016 was very, very good.
Historic.
2.96 ERA. And this one, talent-wise, had a chance, but I don't see it translate. And you're banking on Chatwood stepping up and Darvish pitching better than he did in his best years in Texas. It hasn't crystallized yet.
It's a tough call. I think because of what David said, the importance of starting pitching, I'd put that at the top. But it is a weird offense right now in general. Without getting the walks, they feel very sort of normal, sort of pedestrian. But let's say they get that dynamic feeling back, then it's still the starting
pitch. What do you guys make of the defensive problems? Because they have been pretty bad defensively.
They were bad last year. They didn't make the routine play. I mean, Joe's saying he likes players without chrome, but they're not making the routine plays, and it's taxing the pitching staff.
What is weird, and Wilson Contreras has flown under the radar. He hasn't had a great year defensively either.
No. All right, so what is your guys' take on the Hayward going to the DL in the concussion protocol? Because is that from the play at the end of the game when he whacked
That's
the wall?
Joe said,
That's what Joe says.
Yeah.
Because his defense has really been surprisingly subpar.
Well, I don't think they're related, Cap, though, can they? Because if that was on the last play, his defense was spotty over the weekend. I don't see a connection there except for it underscores just how surprising it's been to see him struggle in the field.
Right, because that was a given that he was the guy. He was the gold glove defender out there.
He shouldn't play if he can't play defense.
Right. Well, I mean, he's missed some balls that, you know, he fought the sun, but still, those are the plays we're used to seeing him make.
Can a Gold Glover just have a bad defensive year? Not month, but year. That's strange. So let's see if it's just a month or 3 weeks. He's had a sun game. He's had maybe a light game. I don't know. But if it lasts a whole year, that'd be really strange.
It'd be strange. It'd also be very bad for the Cubs because that is the only reason he's in the lineup.
Usually defense travels. That's the thing.
Right.
So we'll see.
And it's weird to see Baez making so many errors. So.
All right. We've got to take a timeout. It's Authentic Fan Night here at Gallagher Way outside Venerable Wrigley Field on the city's north side. One more segment. We will talk Crosstown, Eloy Jimenez, Jose Quintana deal almost a year later. We'll get into all that when we come back on Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado.
Are you a White Sox Authentic fan? We want to hear from you. Every Authentic Fan Night, we designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/WhiteSoxAF.
Hey, watch the sixth inning of tonight's game with David DeJesus, Doug Glanville, and me on Facebook Live. We'll take questions, give away some authentic fan hats, and have some fun. We'll see you on NBC Sports Chicago's Facebook page for our sidecast later tonight. Welcome back into Gallagher Way outside Wrigley Field. This is Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado with David Haw, Mark Gonzalez, Jesse Rogers. I'm David Kaplan. All right, not quite a year, but it's coming up quickly. Quintana for Cease, Jimenez, and a couple other minor leaguers. Would you do the deal again?
Well, I think you would, but I think the Sox are winning that trade right now slightly because Jimenez is tearing it up in the minors. Now, the Cubs got what they wanted out of Quintana last year. He struggled early this year, but I think it still helps both teams.
Yes, but I think
I'd
caution this by saying that Eloy's got Gobbs of potential. We know that, but he's got to stay on the field. He's got to stay on the field. He's too young to have these minor injuries. In the case of Cease, love him, but he's at that point where he's got to start progressing because he's been a minor leaguer for a long time. He's got to start making that push. He's shown some signs, but I think it's time for the White Sox to accelerate him a little bit.
Let me say this. You guys would admit it's a really hard trade to evaluate. I mean, Arrieta trade, that's easy. Even the Addison Russell one because Samardzija and Hamill moved on. This is really hard. I'd say the Sox are going to win it because unlike the Chapman trade, Chapman gave you World Series right then.
Immediate
we don't know
results.
What Quintana's going to do over time, although it allowed you to spend on Darvish. There's layers
but
to it.
But it's more fun because you can evaluate it as it
you
goes
think
along.
If you held Theo and Jed to the fire, you can make the trade again or not make the trade, what they would
do. I think they would do it, Cap, don't you? I mean, look, Quintana was very good in September.
Okay, let me just throw this out there.
I know what you're going to say.
How could you not trade for Justin Verlander, who the night of the trade deadline, his agent begged, please,
he wants to be a Cub.
That is not hindsight because we talked about it before the trade ever went down with Houston. Yep. He begged to be in Chicago. Begged.
And here's the other thing. I wonder if they knew they were going to get Darvish and Chatwood, two on-paper quality pitchers, if they would have needed to trade for Quintana. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were desperate for pitching without knowing what was going to happen.
Don't forget that. He had some pretty good moments in the playoffs.
And remember where they were at the time of that trade.
Yeah.
How much would you rather have 2 years left of Verlander, this and one more, and not have signed Darvish?
Okay. Verlander was historically good, Cap.
And I think there were a couple questions about injury
concerns. He's only won 52 Cy Youngs. Right. That was a big mistake.
That was huge money to invest in a guy that was, you know, you couldn't have predicted he was going to do that.
He's a beast.
He is a beast. He's still. I mean, he's had a great start to this year.
If Darvish lives up to his billing, then you got Darvish and Quintana because of Quintana's savings.
Right.
That's better than just Verlander.
What have you seen from Darvish? I don't believe it. I have problems with it. I would push for Darvish over Jake. I second-guess that every time he takes the mound.
Guys, thank you for being here. We hope Flew Darvish will be back soon pitching for the Cubs.